the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Off we go into not just a new week, but a new series with the Suns tonight hosting Denver. Eric Sorensen will be there for Sports 360. Sandy Charles will be doing some social on it. I'll be weighing in on it. We're all excited for it. Today's show is jam-packed. There's some other things going on, some big things, actually, that are going on. But today's show is chock full, as we like to say, of people that I like, that I respect, that I can make fun of, or they make fun of me or whatever, that involve the Suns and the Nuggets. Do you feel a bit of a hangover today? Is it like, wow, so we didn't win a title here in Phoenix by simply taking out the Lakers? I'm not saying we, I'm saying you. Do you feel as though that, you know, okay, got to get geared back up? I don't remember the Suns playing the Nuggets in a playoff series. I should know this. I got here in 93. I don't ever remember the Nuggets, and some of you will be scrambling right now looking for, you know, looking it up online and cheating. And I could have done that my show prep today, but I simply don't remember. Do I remember David Thompson? Do I remember Dan Issel? Do I remember Bill Hanslick? Do I remember? Sure. But this group of Nuggets comes in, and Vic Lombardi is going to be with us today from up in Denver. He does work around the Nuggets for Altitude TV. Vic's a great guy. He was here in the Valley for years. Last time I saw Vic, he was fighting cancer and beat it. Good for him. And this was when we were out seeing Ford versus Ferrari and doing a junket. So I have Vic Lombardi with us. Espo actually will kick things off, because the passion of Greg Esposito for the Suns, it's kind of fun. Like, we love bringing you the national guest, Steve Birney, who chases guests right and left across the country and around the world, can find most anybody. But I just want someone in the hometown today to give me a feel about the Suns, and Espo is that guy. Greg Esposito with Suns Solar Panel, that will be at 10:20. Vic will be at 10:35. And then Jordy tracked down Marcus Howard. Jordan Hamm, of course, does the recruiting roundup and so much more on the team. We found Marcus Howard. Marcus Howard was at Perry High School back in the day and would fight against Alex Barcelo. Alex is up at BYU. I'm not sure if he's going to come back for another year of eligibility, if he's going to turn pro. But Marcus went to Marquette, turned pro, gets a 10-day. The story of the Nuggets and their guards, just their guards, it's really, really interesting to me. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. All right, so with the game tonight, the Nuggets lost Jamal Murray. Very, very good guard. They have Nikola Jokic, who is great, or Jokic, or the Joker, or depending on how you hear the pronunciation, okay? I'm going to go by Joker, keeps it easy. Joker has been really, really good. He steps back, has a beautiful fallaway, goes inside, makes tremendous passes. Will the referees, and I'm not whining, I'm just simply saying, this will be a different series. It's not like Andre Drummond inside with the Lakers against DeAndre Ayton. It's not like that. When Anthony Davis is out there, that's one thing. There's not an Anthony Davis here at Denver. This guy is different. This guy is just different. He can step out and hit threes. He's an MVP candidate. Do you let him score 40? And you look at Michael Porter Jr., very good shooter, but not the best defensive player. The guards, as mentioned, they have had injury. Austin Rivers was hanging around the house, and he gets a phone call and says, hey, do you want to play? And remember this now. Denver took down Portland. Denver took down Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, two really good guards. Like, Damian Lillard's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, when it's all said and done. And so Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Cameron Payne, I will throw into this mix. Those three players, look, if the guards of Denver, if you lose and the guards of Denver, which was a guy hanging around his house and a guy signed on a two-way, which was Marcus Howard, no offense to Marcus, but if that's the way it's going to go here, where you have a Hall of Fame guard in Chris Paul and Devin Booker, who's playing as well as anybody in the postseason, you can't let the guards of Denver beat you like what just happened to Portland. I don't know how they did it. I really don't. So do you just say, Joker, go get your 45, but we're not going to let you guys over here get your 12 and your 16 and your 18 and your 20. So the strategy is going to be really interesting in this game, in this series, I should say. The Suns are a 5.5 point pick tonight. The total's 220. This is going to be higher scoring than the Lakers, but I don't know if it's that much more higher scoring. Like, the Nuggets put up a lot of points against Portland. So I'm kind of leaning on the over tonight. 220 is the over. I'm thinking it's going to go north of 220. 5.5, that sounds about right. It's home. I don't know what the fans are going to be like tonight. I just know that when it's a grind of a series, there's no beat LA chance. There's none of that stuff. When it is get back together, get yourself ramped up, and another seven-game series against a team you've not played in the playoffs in forever. And then you look at the other two teams that are out there in the West. Like, Mike Conley's got a hamstring injury with Utah. Donovan Mitchell's not at 100% with Utah. The way that the Clippers had to rally back and storm back in order to win their series against Dallas. And Kristaps Porzingis, just shut up. I'm not being used right. It's just enough. It's soft. I hate it when the playoffs end and it's, I'm just not being used right. You're 7'3". Like, Luka Doncic was great. And then what do I see today in Dallas? I wasn't, you know. It's another series. The East, so far, if James Harden is not able to go, and it doesn't look like he's going to be able to go, then Brooklyn's in trouble. They're in trouble. And then Trae Young, the Atlanta Hawks are sitting there rolling Trae Young out. Nate McMillan should be coach of the year. It's no offense here to Monty, but Nate McMillan took over a bleep storm in March. And look at where the Hawks are now. Look at where the Hawks are. If we're talking about postseason MVPs, a lot of attention already on Kawhi Leonard because of how well he played. He's already been an MVP in the postseason. Trae Young. But I'm not hearing much run at all about Devin Booker. This isn't, oh, Phoenix. It's just, you know, pay attention a little bit to what's going on out here. So Devin Booker's having a spectacular postseason. So, you know, the Suns game tonight without Murray and the guards being just not what the Suns have, I feel like the Suns should win this series. I really do. And we'll have Espo here in a few minutes, and then Vic Lombardi up in Denver. We'll hear from Marcus Howard with Jordy. That'll come up later in the show. So there's a few other things going on. Boy, the Diamondbacks stink. I mean, what do I have here? They've lost 28 of 33. Their last road victory was April 25th. I'm not one of those that's just like, yeah, we're not going to pay attention, because that's letting them off the hook. Seriously, when you're watching them, they've lost 17 straight road games. They struck out 13 times yesterday to Burns. They had 16 strikeouts in the game. And so when you're sitting here on a Monday and you're Derek Hall and you're Ken Kendrick, why are you not selling? Seriously, why are you not selling? Do not wait to the trade deadline and think, well, at the last minute, we're going to get the greatest offer from Mad Bum ever, or this contract is untradeable. I know he's on the 10-day right now, but you got to work through this. The trades that have been made by this regime, and it's really hard when the general manager has got, his spouse has got serious health issues. So you're trying to work through that. And then the team just looks like, oh my gosh, they're just dreadful. Torrey aired him out during a game the other night. So there's that. Julio Jones is on my radar today. Julio Jones, because the Cardinals open with, that's right, Tennessee. And so the season opener is going to be Julio Jones across from the Cardinals. And already some of the Cardinal players are putting on their social about seeing Julio very early on. It's already in here. And did the wise guys in Vegas look at Julio Jones' acquisition by Tennessee and change the number? We'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. A couple other things. So Mike Candrea, just before we hit the air today, Mike Candrea, it was announced by the U of A that he is retiring. If you follow softball in this state at all, or if you follow just great coaches in this state, Mike Candrea would have to be near the top of the list. He'd have to be. If you're an Arizona State fan and you're going to give me the usual nonsense about you're not going to give anybody in Tucson any credit at all, I'm not having it. Mike Andrea has dominated down there and has been a terrific coach. Tomorrow morning at 10:30, they're going to hold his retirement ceremony at inside the basketball arena tomorrow morning. He's going to speak out. It's going to be very emotional. The number of players that he's impacted, the number of young ladies that he's impacted, it's terrific stuff. He'd have to go down as one of the greatest coaches on the college front in the state of Arizona. That's not even a debate. None. And man, the ASU alumni wants Tracy Smith fired. ASU baseball eliminated. Bye-bye. Yesterday afternoon and last night, my email is just full of big cigars saying, you know, I got to make a change. Got to make a change. So I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But that's some of what is happening around town. All right, Espo is next, then Vic Lombardi, and then Marcus Howard with Jordy. I'm Brad Susmat on a Monday. All right, as promised, Espo is with us, Sun Solar Panel. He is going to be on after tonight's game if you want to head over to their site. What do you guys do following playoff games? What's your show look like?
We go live on YouTube, instant reaction after the game, and we just kind of break it all down, talk about what happened and what's coming up in the next game, and hopefully talking about a Suns win, because it's always easier to do post-game shows, as you know, after a win for a team.
Yeah, it is. And but when it's playoffs, you're going to have some losses. Like, this is not a sweep. But, you know, Greg, I'm looking at this, and honestly, the fact that Denver is even here with a guy that was sitting on his couch in Austin Rivers waiting for a call, and when Jamal Murray goes down, and their backcourt was basically just a bunch of guys. We're going to hear from Marcus Howard later in the show. Jordan tracked him down, but like, the fact they're even here speaks volumes about Jokic and Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, well, definitely. And you've got to look at that. And I think some people are overlooking the Nuggets, going, okay, well, is it the Clippers? Is it the Jazz? Who's more dangerous? But right now, it's the Nuggets. You can't overlook a team that has the likely MVP on it, and one that's overcome every adversity that's been thrown its way this year. I mean, when everybody heard Jamal Murray was down, they went, well, that's it. The Nuggets' chances are gone. And they've proven that that's not the case, that they are still a Western Conference contender in a big way. And I've been very impressed with how they've filled in those gaps and been able to step up when nobody really thought they were going to be able to.
Yeah, I mean, the fact they took out Portland with one of the great guards in the history of the league in Damian Lillard, and CJ McCollum is no slouch. He's a very, very good player. And the guards that they had, and I keep focusing on the guards here because I think that's where this series, Denver took out those two guards. They can take out Chris Paul and Devin Booker, but I really feel like Chris Paul is on the redemption tour, that this has become like his deal. And the fact that the whining from Devin stopped in series one, like game three, we saw some maturation and some growth from him that I just felt like was always a hindrance. If you're complaining about the officiating, then that means you don't think you can win the game. And somehow it got through to him in the Lakers series.
Yeah, and I think the Lakers series is such a huge confidence boost to guys like Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, guys that hadn't been there before. You take down the defending champions, you know, for young guys, that pretty much makes you feel like we can take on anybody. And I think that's the mentality that they needed that I don't believe they necessarily had in those first three games of the Lakers series, especially with the questions about CP3. Now, you look at what Devin Booker did in game five and game six of that Lakers series, and I think that's going to carry over into this series. He's very focused, and now he's playing against a backcourt like you've brought up that, you know, he's going to be going against Austin Rivers. And that's not like going against Dennis Schroeder or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. This is not a defensive stalwart. This is not a guy that he is overly concerned about. Plus, you got to remember, kind of a slight, he told the Suns when he got traded here, please release me. I don't want to be part of your organization. Right. So that may be a little extra motivation for Devin Booker to show him, hey, you made the wrong choice here. So I think you're right, 100%. It comes down to the guard play, and CP3 and Devin Booker have the distinctive advantage against against Denver's backcourt, and should be able to own the offensive end of the court, no problem here. The big question, as we've, you know, we talked about in the Lakers series, is how healthy is Chris Paul? Now, he didn't show up on the injury report, so maybe he is back to 90%, 100%.
You buy into injury reports? Come on.
No.
Come on.
No, I mean, I know it's all mind games, but if you've got an 85, 90% healthy Chris Paul and he doesn't re-injure that shoulder, they should dominate. And then it comes down to, can Mikal Bridges stop Michael Porter Jr.? And how does DeAndre Ayton play against Jokic? Now, we know he's not going to shut down Jokic completely, but can he stay out of foul trouble? Because if you wind up with Frank Kaminsky or Dario Saric on Nikola Jokic, you're in massive trouble.
You're in trouble.
You know, and we saw that earlier in the season.
And I'm going to go back on the officiating thing. So it's one thing to complain and whine. All right. That's what I was saying about Devin. I felt like he got through that. Anybody who wants to fight me on that just hasn't been watching Devin Booker for 5 years. He complained and whined, but he finally stopped. If they call it tight on Ayton against Jokic, then they're in trouble. So that's what I'm looking for. You know, the wise guys in Vegas have the Suns by 5.5 tonight. They have the total at 220. Do I see both teams being around 110? Really? Maybe. And does Monty say, you know what? We're going to give him his 40. He may have 40 and 15, but we don't think there's a chance in heck that Denver is going to get more than 10 or 12 out of Austin Rivers or Marcus Howard, the great scorer at Howard in college, but first time in the postseason. So is Monty's strategy that, to your point on Porter, if Porter goes and gets 18 or 20 and Joker goes for 40, where are they going to get the other 40 to 50 points?
Well, yeah, I mean, and they've got the defensive advantage with Jay Crowder on Aaron Gordon, which is the other guy that can score in that offense potentially. So
potentially, I'm not factoring him in.
No, but I mean, with Crowder on him, I think he becomes a non-factor on that end of the court. So I think you're right. I mean, you almost have to pencil in the Joker for, you know, 30 points and almost a triple double.
Yeah.
Just expect that and do the math and figure out where else you can, where else they can't get it. And I really feel that Mikal Bridges will shine in this series against Michael Porter Jr. And defensively will be able to stop him. But I do see these being somewhat of track meets, because you look at what happened with Portland and Denver, and those were high scoring affairs as well. And with the Suns' backcourt ability to score against Denver, I think we will see some high scoring games in this series, somewhat out of necessity at times, because as much as we'd love to say, oh, the Suns defense is going to shut everybody down except Jokic, there's going to be a few games at least where that's just not the fact. Guys will get hot. Guys you don't expect, like Austin Rivers, may have a 20, 25 point game, just because that's the nature of the beast when you're playing a team up to seven times in a row. So I think we will see at least a few track meets in a series.
So when there's series, and we're talking with Espo, Sun Solar Panel, they're going to be on following the game tonight on their YouTube channel. You guys can buzz over there and check out all their great content. When you have playoff series and you have deep runs, there are always guys that show up that you didn't see in maybe the first series. So let's go back on Dario for a minute. Dario didn't do much of anything in the Lakers series. But in this series, because you look at who it is that they're going to be going against, and this is a guy in Joker that can do the step back, right? He can go out beyond the arc and open things up, which makes Ayton maybe a liability at times, maybe. And so this could be a series where you see Sarge's numbers go up to 12, 15 minutes a game, where he was almost non-existent by the time we got through the Lakers series, because all the Lakers did was pound inside with Drummond. The Lakers just went inside with their big guys once Anthony Davis was out. So I'm expecting some different guys to step forward.
I could see that. I just don't think it's going to be Dario. What you saw in that first round was a guy that lacked confidence completely, that couldn't hold on to the ball. On the offensive end, he just seemed lost. And since, you know, there's been a large part of this season where he's felt that way. I think the guy that's going to step up big this series is Torrey Craig. former Nugget, played there last year, understands the roster.
Yeah.
You know, and a guy that has proven to be an energy guy for this team, can do things defensively, can hit threes offensively, cuts to the basket pretty well. I think he's the guy that winds up standing out and surprising a lot of us this year, or this series, excuse me.
This series, yeah. We should both know this, and I should definitely know this. The Suns and Nuggets in the postseason, trying to remember. I haven't looked it up. I can't remember a time where it was Suns Denver that I've been here. You?
I want to say the 80s. I believe in the 80s.
I got here in the 90s. I got here in 93. So I don't remember a time that I could look back on and say, remember Dan Issel and David Skywalker Thompson and, you know, all that stuff. I can't think of that. So this is kind of fun for me to see a different look, a different team. And you know, on the other side of the series, before I get you out of here, on the other side, when you look at where the Clippers are with Utah, Donovan Mitchell's not at 100% and Conley's hamstring's a problem. They're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And this conversation about how the MVP of the postseason so far is either Kawhi Leonard or Trae Young, I think that people are not looking over here in Phoenix saying, did you see what Devin Booker did?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
But that's been the whole year. And I actually think it's better with the Suns team not getting the full respect, because I think that's where they've comfortably operated this season. And when that script flips, I think it'll be an odd position to be the favorite, quote unquote, for anything. So I like a Devin Booker that has that extra motivation. I like a Suns team that isn't quite getting the respect. But the interesting thing is, you look at the remaining Western Conference teams, none of them have ever won a championship.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that we see that, and nobody, I believe, has won a title since the early 80s that's left in the playoffs when Philly won in 83. So we're going to get a new champion. This is a different feeling playoffs in general. And I do like that you're getting a Nuggets team that, hasn't been a playoff foe in a long time for you, because that it's something different to experience. Yeah. The one thing I'm concerned about is a letdown coming off of playing LA, not just for the team, but for the fans, because that's such a heated rivalry. There's an easy built-in chant to get loud about. How does the crowd respond in game one tonight? Do they bring the same energy and help fuel the Suns team if there is a Nuggets run that they have to withstand? Or if the Nuggets get out to an early lead, can this crowd help them? Because that was a big part in round one, and I hope it translates into round two.
Yeah, the answer is going to be no. They're going to come out a little bit flat.
Agreed.
Don't you think? I mean, like, it's to me, and it's not so much there's no beat LAs and all that stuff. It's we haven't been in this in 11 years. Okay. So fans don't, and media, this is a grind. And it is. It's a mental grind. And so they've had a few days off, which is good. I never liked it when they'd finish a series on a Friday and they'd start game one on a Sunday. I just hated that. Like,
yeah.
You guys realize the grind they've just been through? On the point, though, of the lack of respect. So I was told on Thursday that if there had been a game seven, ABC said, we're not carrying it. They're going to hand it off. It was going to be another TNT. Like, really? You're not going to carry LeBron Saturday night in prime time? And they said, no. So
it's bizarre.
To your point about Phoenix, and these were TV executives that said, yeah, they informed us the game would go over to Turner and be done locally over on Bally's. So yeah, bizarre is like an understatement. Like, really?
What, they have a game show they had to run Saturday night?
I don't know. But no, but I think that tonight will be a little bit of, it's rounds one, two, and three in a heavyweight boxing match, which is kind of poking at each other and figuring out each other. And if the guards for Denver go off, the Suns lose. If the guards go off for Denver in the series, the Suns lose. And when I mean go off for them, if they, you know, if they are getting 10, 12, 14 points from three guys, which basically would be what Jamal Murray would be trying to do for them, 8, 10, 12, somewhere around there. And combined, they're making up for his points, and the Suns are not going to win this series because Joker's going to get his numbers like we talked about. So, but
yeah, you're going to need Devin Booker to continue to play at that level that he showed towards the back half of that series, and you're going to need a healthy CP3, because if one of those guys is off, you're not going to win this series, because you're going to depend so much on that guard play just to carry you in this, because I think Mikal Bridges is going to likely be another non-factor on the offensive end, because he's going to have to play so hard on the defensive end. So you're going to need CP3, Campaign, and Devin Booker to carry a large load of the offense here.
All right. So let's go off that. Have fun tonight. Thanks for the time, as always.
Always a pleasure, Brad.
There is Espo. And again, you can find he and his gang afterwards on their YouTube channel, Sun Solar Panel. They do great work. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, let's go to Denver now. Vic Lombardi is with us. And of course, Vic was known here in the Valley for a long time doing sports. And then he said, I'm going to Denver. And he's with Altitude TV, among other things. And look at you. You have your Nuggets backdrop. You look spiff. You're thinking the Nuggets are going to win this series, right?
I wouldn't go that far. I think it's going to go seven games, Brad. And I think in that seventh game, anything can happen. You know, when it comes down to it, I can't tell you here in the last year alone how many times I thought the Nuggets were done. Thought they were done when they were down 3-1 to Utah. They won. Thought they were done when they were down 3-1 to the Clippers. They won. Then they go to play the Portland Trailblazers this year. They lose the first game. And I'm like, okay, they just don't have it. They got the injuries working. And they prove me wrong every time. That's what Nikola Jokic does, Brad. He's so good. Mm-hmm. And I think we even underrate him here in Denver. He's so good, and he has that rare ability to make teammates better. And that's why the Nuggets keep winning.
How is it that they're here, Vic? Because Jamal Murray goes down, and they sign Austin Rivers off his couch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guards of Denver against the – you go through Lillard and McCollum.
Yeah.
How is this possible?
Yeah, on paper, Brad, the Nuggets had no business winning that series on paper, because the backcourt was a mismatch. But every player found a way, and it wasn't just two guys. It was a collective effort. Facu Campazzo did his part, right? Monte Morris came off the bench and played really well in the last two games of that series. Austin Rivers in one game, game three, scored 16 in the fourth quarter, hit four threes in one quarter. And again, he's the guy that was sitting on his couch. And they're finding guys. Heck, Marcus Howard is a two-way player. He had a big game in game four, game five of that series. So dudes who were not expected to play are making plays. But I always think the source is Nikola Jokic. There's a reason those guys have open looks, Brad. There's a reason they got open looks at the bucket, because the opposing team spends its time in crunch time focusing on number 15.
Yeah, I was going through Suns history because they were so bad for so long. And they, like a lot of NBA teams, passed on Joker twice the year that he came out in the draft. They took two stiffs who aren't here anymore. And so when I see what he's doing up there, what makes him so good from your view, Vic?
Calmness, plays at his speed, doesn't allow the other team, the opposing player, to speed him up, to change his game. It's truly a unique talent. There aren't many players that can get away with that. In fact, one player who you've seen a lot of, Chris Paul, plays at his own speed, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't change his demeanor during the course of a game, no matter what the score is, what the situation is. And that is Nikola Jokic to a T. He is a very mentally – I think the two smartest players in the league, three of them, LeBron, Nikola Jokic, and Chris Paul, in my opinion, are three smartest players in the NBA.
It's a good call.
And we're going to see two of them go at it in this series. What a treat.
Yeah, that's a good call. Vic Lombardi with us from Denver. Before I get you out of here, Marcus Howard, of course, went to high school down here, scored 56 in a game in high school at Perry High. Loved him when he went off to the college game and did well. How has he fit in with the Nuggets?
You know, he was not expected to play at all in the playoffs, bottom line. He did a lot of mop-up duty for the bulk of the season. And then there was a road trip right before the playoffs began, and the Nuggets were severely shorthanded in the backcourt. They needed somebody. Marcus Howard, come on down. It's your turn. Give it a shot. And that's where I go back to that Nikola Jokic spoon-feeding confidence in the players. When we saw Marcus Howard in the regular season get crunch time or, you know, garbage time minutes, he struggled shooting the ball because he's playing with other dudes that really aren't used to playing. Mm-hmm. But you put Marcus Howard next to Nikola Jokic, and it exudes confidence almost through osmosis. It's amazing. He suddenly fulfilled his potential, and you're seeing why the Nuggets – have high hopes of he can shoot the ball and shoot it at an elite level. So I've never seen a guy go from, well, I'm not sure if he can make it in this league, to, holy moly, this guy can shoot. He did that in a week. They're very high on Marcus Howard right now.
And we haven't talked about Porter Jr., who's a guy that had some back trouble in college, was it going to go be at Cal, went to Missouri, bounced, has turned into a real star, emerging star, I guess, is the best way. Or is he a star from your view up there?
I think he's a shooting star. Excuse the terminology there.
I see.
I mean, nobody shoots like him outside of, you know, the greats in this game, Curry, Dame Lillard. Nobody can light it up as quickly as Michael Porter. You will see. But the adaptation he's had to make, and he's, you know, he's had some hurdles he's had to climb. If you get physical with him, you could take him out of his game. It happened in the Portland series. Lucky for him, and give credit to him, he bounced right back in the next game and went back to his shooting ways. So it's just part of the growing up in the NBA, right? Yeah, you become a good shooter, you become a great shooter, and then people focus on you to try to disrupt your shooting, and you have to find other ways to score. That's where he is right now. As a pure scorer, man, is it a pretty jump shot.
All right, last question, I'll get you out of here. Do people in Denver care? So here's a crowded sports market. The Rockies are terrible, but the Broncos are the Broncos, and the Nuggets are in this spot. Is the city buzzing about this, or is it kind of, let's see. And they have the Avs too, I left out. So
yeah, you know, it's interesting. On my radio show, which I just got done with here in Denver, we talked about that very topic. Denver's the last team, the last city, to have two teams sharing the same arena still alive in the playoffs, right? Both teams play out of Ball Arena. And the expectations are a little bit different. The Avalanche, right now, they're in a fight. They're in a battle with Vegas. They got busted last night. The expectations for the Avalanche are to win it all. This is a Stanley Cup championship team or bust. The expectations for the Nuggets are a little different, because when Jamal Murray went down, I think some people are like, okay, they're playing with house money now. They beat Portland. That's great. Now Phoenix, it's a little bit of a house money move. As much as people are into it and want the Nuggets to win, man, we all think the same thing. What if Jamal Murray were healthy right now? Yeah. If you give me a healthy Jamal Murray, it's a championship team. Without Jamal Murray, it's wait and see team.
Yeah, it's a good story, it sounds like, at this point, and we'll just see how it goes from there. Hey, it's good to see you, and stay healthy. I appreciate your time, as
Brad,
always.
Thank you very much, man. Honor and a privilege, my man. Take care.
There's Vic Lombardi from Denver, and we're back with more after this timeout.
Welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. I am Jordan Hamm, and it is a crazy postseason for the NBA. Phoenix Suns navigating through their Western Conference bracket, and they're going to see a familiar face when they face the Denver Nuggets this week. And Marcus Howard played for the Perry Pumas for a bit, one of the best to ever come out of Arizona. He is now a guard with the Denver Nuggets, and he joins us now. Marcus, thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate you having me, Jordan. Always a pleasure.
So I'm sure this year has been very difficult to navigate, probably a lot of uncertainty. If I were to tell you, you know, before the pre-draft process and all of that, that you would be on a playoff basketball team and playing in your hometown, playing against a team that I'm sure you watched growing up, what would you have said to me?
You know, I would have thought you were crazy. You know, of course, being a part of the Nuggets organization has a winning culture. So you expect to be in the playoffs and everything like that. We're very fortunate for that. But to be in a second round, you know, a second round stint with the team and actually, you know, playing minutes and actually being able to come home and play, you know, it's just such a blessing. You know, I'm so happy that we were able to, you know, be successful in the first round against Portland, who was really tough. But now to go against, you know, the Suns, who are one of the best teams in the league, and to be able to play and compete in front of my family, you know, it's a dream come true. You know, I mean, this whole year has been, like you said, very tough to navigate, lots of ups and downs. But to be able to have this kind of end of the season, to be able to be in the playoffs playing and then do it in front of my hometown, you know, it's something you dream of as a kid. So I'm very fortunate, for sure.
Growing up, were you a Suns fan? Were there any players that you tracked? Yeah. And I know that how much you're a basketball family. You come from a basketball family. You're a student of the game. Any Suns that you loved growing up?
I mean, of course, growing up, I was a big Suns fan. You know, Steve Nash was my favorite player growing up. You know, that team with him, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, there was so much fun. so much fun to watch. And, you know, I would always be so upset when they lose, you know, to the Spurs, the Lakers and the conference finals and all that. So growing up as a kid, just in the area and in the Valley, you know, you love the Suns and, you know, dreaming of maybe one day playing for them or being in that same situation that they were in was definitely something I thought of as a kid. And, you know, to be able to be in the same, you know, league now and be able to play against an organization like the Suns, you know, it's kind of crazy how full circle that is. So, yeah, I mean, growing up, I was a big fan of the Suns. Steve Nash was definitely my favorite player for sure growing up.
Okay. This past year, you know, I think, you know, going through a pre-draft process is very difficult, especially last year. I think that that was one that had a big impact on a lot of players, but you were able to find a home with Denver, now playing meaningful minutes here in the postseason. Can you just take us through what it was like, you know, wrapping up your career at Marquette? You have a historic career there, and then going through a process that was so different than other pre-draft processes.
Yeah, you know, really fortunate for the time I spent at Marquette and, you know, the position they helped put me in, you know, to be where I'm at. But the way the year ended was extremely, extremely not normal. It wasn't normal at all. You know, just our tournament being canceled, having to go straight home, not even being able to walk for graduation. You know, it was definitely tough, but I kind of had to flip my mindset really quick, going from college student athlete to getting ready to be a professional. So just being home, training the entire time, not knowing when the draft would be, dates changing, kind of having to wait longer. It was all in an 8-month period. It was a blessing in disguise just because that was the longest time I'd spent with my family in that time. So for me to be able to have that time to get better basketball wise, get better mentally, physically, spiritually, and then just be around my family, you know, that was honestly the biggest blessing I could have ever had. And you know, the thing, things fell into place and I was able to find a home in Denver, and, you know, I've loved every minute of it, you know, the good, the bad, it's all been a part of, you know, my maturation. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I'm just extremely blessed to be in this position. And, you know, it's been a great first year. You know, I've learned a lot.
Talking to Denver Nuggets guard Marcus Howard, one of the best to ever come through Arizona through the prep circuit. With Denver, what is it about their system, their culture, that really clicked for you to be successful so early in your career with them?
Well, I just feel it starts from top to bottom, you know, with our president, Tim Connelly, and our GM, Calvin Booth. You know, they do an amazing job putting together a group of guys that mesh well. And just being around the guys each and every day. I mean, in an NBA locker room, you could have a lot of egos or you could have a lot of big personalities, but I can genuinely say, like, every single person in that locker room that in Denver, you know, is a great, great teammate, great guy. I love being around them. And we just all mesh well together, you know, and I feel it starts with Nikola, you know, in my opinion, the MVP of this league, the best player in this league, you know, so low maintenance, you know, he's so not demanding, and he's just a really down to earth guy. And I think we have a superstar like that who's so prominent around the league, and, you know, he's just, you know, just one of the guys, you know, I think that really spreads around to the entire team. And we have a group full of guys that, you know, have really just been really good vets to me and showed me the ropes. And, you know, I'm fortunate to be in Denver around great people. So the way we play, I think, just is an attribute to just, you know, the guys that we have in the locker room. And, you know, we play a great brand of basketball, and I still think, you know, a lot of people kind of sleep on us a little bit. But, you know, this playoffs, we're looking to prove a lot of people wrong. Mm-hmm.
Now, growing up in Phoenix during one of the, you know, most important basketball stretches in Phoenix Suns history, you know what a crowd can be like here in Phoenix. I imagine a part of that crowd are going to be some Marcus Howard fans and probably some family members. What's the crowd going to be like for you? Who's going to be in attendance, keeping an eye on Marcus Howard here, game one and game two?
Well, of course, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people who support me in the state, and I'm very appreciative of that. Lots of family and friends. But, you know, my immediate family, as well as my girlfriend, will be in attendance come Monday for the game. I know it's going to be, you know, a really ruckus crowd, and there's going to be a lot of, you know, fans for the Suns and everything like that. But just to be able to be home, there's nothing like being in Arizona and being home where I grew up. So just to be in that atmosphere, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. Looking forward to competing against a great team. And like I said before, just fortunate that, you know, my loved ones will be able to watch me play in an NBA game. That's a dream I've had since I was a little kid, since I picked up the ball. So for them to be able to watch me in a game like this in my home, in my backyard, you know, that's a dream come true. So I'm just really looking forward to it. I'm happy they'll be in attendance, and I'm just excited. Mm-hmm.
How did Arizona shape you as the player and person you are today?
Yeah, you know, Arizona's been home for me. My family resides here. So every time I think of Arizona or I'm home where my family is, you know, that always has just, you know, a soft spot in my heart. And, you know, the way that my family and I were, you know, my brothers and I were raised and now we grew up here, you know, it's definitely helped shape me to the person I am today. And, you know, the places I've been in Arizona, you know, at Perry, and just being and playing with my brother for that 1 year, that was the best year of basketball I've ever had in my life. And, you know, that was kind of what helped me, you know, fall even more so in love with the state was, you know, just the experiences I've had, the people I've met, the relationships I've built, you know. So I mean, no matter where I go, you know, Arizona is always going to be home for me. You know, nothing makes me more proud than to be able to represent the state of Arizona in any way possible. So, you know, no matter where I go, I'll always rep, you know, the 480. So. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So now that we're looking ahead at this matchup, when you see this current Phoenix Suns team, what jumps out to you? What do you think your team's going to have to minimize to make sure you guys have a successful series against the Phoenix Suns?
Well, for us, you know, coming off a Portland series with, you know, one of the most dynamic backcourts in the NBA, you know, with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, playing against Devin Booker and Chris Paul, it's a lot of the same, similar and different in a lot of ways as well. But Devin, you know, being the prolific scorer he is, and then Chris, you know, everywhere he goes, team and is in contention and winning. So just to be able to try and, you know, contain those two is going to be really important. But at the same time, you know, they have a great supporting cast of guys that just fit their team well. They play extremely hard. They defend. They get out and run. So we're going to have our hands full, but I think with how we played against Portland in round one, I think we'll have, you know, great things to build off going into the series. Mm-hmm.
This year, I'm sure, has been a year of growth for you, first year in the league, also navigating, as we've talked about, a very unique year. But going through this regular season, now you're in the postseason, where do you see yourself, you know, what do you want to focus on moving forward to make sure you're making those next steps as an NBA player?
You know, just focusing on whatever I can to help the team, you know, whatever the role the team needs me to do. That's going to be what I'm going to try and build upon. But just being a guy that can spread the floor in a lot of ways and, you know, whether that be offensively, you know, spreading the floor, being able to shoot, create, just whatever the team needs me to do, that's what I'm going to focus on. But just specifically right now, just playing my role to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm.
He is Marcus Howard, one of the best to ever come through Arizona. And Marcus, I think for those of us that saw you in high school, even earlier, this is no surprise you are where you are and, you know, being the person and the player that you are. So great to see you. Know that there's a lot of people here in Arizona rooting for you and appreciate the time and good luck this series.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Jordan.